Listen, today's an important message on the resurrection, because that's what our hope is based upon, the resurrection of Christ and our resurrection. When you look at the Gospel of John and the epistles of John and that of Revelation, John in his writings differed from the other writers of the Gospel in that he uses more, talks more about Jesus in his Gospels. John's book gives us most evidence of Jesus' divinity and his humanity. And to those who witness what Jesus done, the greatest faith, as well as a great unbelief. Those miracles and stuff we witness the faith that Jesus done, it produced two things. It either produced faith in him or unbelief. And so it had kind of a twofold effect. And we learn that in John chapter 20 and verse 31, which we'll look at here briefly. But when you look at the Gospel of John, and there may be more, but I found that there are seven miracles that John records that Jesus did for the time that he was upon earth for people to see. They were witnesses of these miracles that he done. And again, the effect that these miracles had and the signs that he done either produced belief or unbelief. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we have the turning of water to wine. Because of the length of these readings, we'll not read them. But you can go back and read those and see the effect that these miracles had upon the people at that time who saw and witnessed these signs that Christ done. The second one is found in John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54, the healing of a nobleman's son. The third one is the healing of the impotent man in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Then you have the feeding of the multitude in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. You had Jesus walking on water in John chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, that whole chapter is just one context, okay? But it's the blind man being cured. Then in John 11, and what we'll be looking at some today, verses 2 through 45, you have the raising of Lazarus and the conversation that took place between Martha and Mary and that miracle that Jesus performed. But when you look at these signs that Jesus did before his death, each one of those show a certain aspect of his divine authority. But the one in John chapter 11 shows his power over what people fear most, and that is death. And so we need to remember this, that his power over death, that death did not have no control over him. They are called signs because they point to something beyond themselves, or they attest to something. When you look at the Jews were constantly asking for a sign or signs. But the signs that Christ gave was not what they were looking for. If you remember what the Jews were looking for in a Messiah was that of an earthly king. And those signs that Jesus did, none of them showed or went that way as far as proving that he was going to be an earthly king. The signs Christ gave showed his power and ability not associated with a physical kingdom. John chapter 20 and verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. And again, these signs were followed by a confession of belief by many who witnessed them, but yet not all. Someone turn to John chapter 2 and verse 11. And read that, please. Again, you have the turning of water to wine in this context.
This is the first great sign Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
All right, someone turn to John chapter 4 and verse 53.
The Father realized this was the very hour at which Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." Then he himself believed, along with his whole household.
Right, the healing of a nobleman's son. He produced belief not only in the nobleman, who else? His whole household. John chapter 6 and verse 66. Feeding off the 5,000.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more.
In verse 69, Peter says, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we have two different effects there on these signs that he does. And of course, John 11 and verse 45. Someone read.
Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him.
And of course, in this chapter, again, you have the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So you see, not only the signs that he done was not produce the evidence that he was going to be a physical king, but that he was going to be what? A Messiah, a spiritual king, okay? Because they believed on him through that. When you look at the Bible, and you probably look for, is this the first time that the resurrection is mentioned in the Bible? Was this taught before? Or did people of old know this? Or was this something new that people had never heard concerning the resurrection?
No, it's not something new because Mary said she knew that
Lazarus
would be raised in the resurrection.
When you turn to the book of Job, I'm going to turn to Job chapter 14 and read verses 12 through 15. Again, it's not something new that Christ introduced as far as the resurrection. There's those of old who also knew that a resurrection would take place. Job 12, 14 through 15.
So man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake, nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my heart's service I'll wait. Till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands.
Scripture says, all the days my heart serves, I will wait till my change comes. He's having reference to what?
Resurrection.
Job chapter 19. Someone read 25 through 27.
For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroyed his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins shall be consumed within me.
They talked about his skin destroyed, but yet he would see God. Again, pointing through that of a resurrection, and he would see God even after his death. Christ and God is a great debate even in the world today. You have the atheists who debate that there is no God. So it's a continual debate that within the resurrection, people claim today that only the righteous are going to be resurrected and that the unrighteous will just utterly be annihilated and they will not be anywhere, either in hell. After this life, they will be destroyed. So you have even a great debate, if you will, that goes on today. But again, it's nothing new. This debate of the resurrection took place even in God's Word. When you look at Matthew chapter 22, and there are several other verses that you can look at concerning this. Beginning with verse 23, the same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, they say, Master, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. And Jesus says, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures. He's having reference to what? Concerning the question that they asked.
They didn't understand it. Because they deny the resurrection? He said, you don't understand.
You don't understand. They didn't even know what the resurrection was about. Because he said, because in the resurrection, there's neither marriage or given in marriage. Okay? They misapplication of what the resurrection was. Acts chapter 23. In verse 6, Paul there in his defense says, but when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. Again, then you drop down to verse 8. For Sadducees say there is no resurrection, no angels or spirits, but the Pharisees confess both. So this great debate, and you can also, if you want to, look at chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15, Acts chapter 26, verses 6 through 8. Any questions or thoughts? The final miracle that we talked about that was put in the Gospel of John was that of the resurrection of Lazarus, or the raising of Lazarus. When you look, and hopefully when you prepare this, you did go back, because this is where the verse is found concerning this. The resurrection, we need to understand that how many days lapsed before Christ, after he heard that Lazarus was dead, did he go to him? 4 days, okay? Any particular purpose in your thoughts of why?
Didn't he say so that they would believe?
All right.
Well, like she said, he's already sinking. So, I mean, it's like you can't just say, well, he's asleep and he went and woke him up.
Yeah. The thought of belief, was it to produce a greater belief that his body had already begun to deteriorate, that he stank, than it would have if he went immediately?
The great belief that would have been presented is that Jesus went before God and was able to bring that spirit back with God's authority.
I know my mind, I'm sure people cannot comprehend the thought of a spirit leaving, going somewhere, as Larry said, that spirit being called back, which showed he had the power of what? Over death, okay? That he could do that, and we'll mention briefly of that later on. McGarvey, and I don't know if any of you looked at the commentaries of McGarvey, he's a very, wrote, I think, in the early 1600s, somewhere in there. But I'm not going to put a lot of that in commentaries, but he says on this, concerning this, of these 4 days, he delayed that he might discipline and perfect the faith of the sisters and the disciples. That Christ, as Merle mentioned, withheld his blessings that he might enlarge the blessings upon those people. And I thought that was a good thought concerning that. But as Jesus approaches Bethany, Martha comes to him and says, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died or would not have died. She says, I know whatever you thou will ask of God, God will give thee. Being concerned, showing her faith in him, verses 21 and 22. Jesus' reply was not, yeah, I know that. But he simply said what? In answer to her question, her, as she put before him. Verse 23, Christ says he will rise again. Then verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And Jesus tells Mary that physical death does not interrupt life. We're going to die. But that's not going to interrupt our life, whether we're in heaven or in hell. We're not going to be annihilated if we're going to hell. We're going to suffer. We're going to have a remembrance just like those in heaven. So we need to remember that Christ has the power on that. And it's because of his resurrection that all this is based on. Jesus would embody or bring to life or be made of visible form the power to bring the dead to life and raise himself. Those people saw that. So he embodied that. He was the visible form that he can do what he said. And again, it produced what? Faith in some, and others began to make excuses. Somebody's come and stole his body. So it produced either or on that. But we have this assurance that we accept by faith that he raised himself from the dead. He is now at the right hand of God with all authority, ruling until time will be no more. At which time all authority will be given back to the Father. That's the gospel that we believe. Any thoughts? Again, Jesus makes mention that I am the resurrection and the life. Our life is based upon the resurrection. Jesus was proven to be the Son of God by his resurrection. Romans 1 and verse 4, Paul there says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By raising himself from the dead, by saying, I am the resurrection, he meant that he had the power to raise the dead. Of course, that goes hand in hand. If he can raise himself, then who cannot he not raise? And that's the point we need to look at this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead? And the world today, the biggest majority of them, do not. Maybe not the biggest majority, but there's several that don't believe that Christ ever existed or that God even existed. And there's several, even in denominations. And I knew one, a member of the Church of Christ, who did not believe there was a hell. There's an old saying, you like Roper, when time comes, you are annihilated as if you never existed, your spirit never existed. But if you were going to heaven, then it continued to exist. And so you have different arguments that people make. Again, what is your or my faith based upon? Do I truly believe that Jesus raised from the dead? And he's where he's at? That he has the power to raise me up when my life is over? Job did. Because he made a statement, I know I shall see God. And it shouldn't be something that we doubt in. Have any doubt in it. Because any doubt would mean what? Well, for one, you don't believe the gospel as you should. By saying I am the resurrection, he meant he had the power to raise the dead. Therefore, Christ could make the statement in John chapter 6 and verse 40. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day, based on his resurrection. Christ's resurrection is critical to the gospel. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I know we've looked at this verse over and over, but when you're preaching the gospel, this may be or should be one of the verses or chapters that you go to in preaching the gospel. Because what? When you're preaching the gospel, this is what you are preaching. And Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also receive, and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver it to you first of all, this is the first preaching of Paul, which is this I deliver first, which I receive, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then you have this list of witnesses who testified, and their testimony is based upon in the Bible, their testimony that which we believe that they saw him. It talks about he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to this present, but some have fallen asleep. He was seen by James and then all the apostles. Of course, we know the apostles were inspired teachers. that word, that they were with Christ from the beginning of his ministry to the end. And so you have their eyewitness in this. So you have these witnesses. And we base our belief upon those witnesses, the apostles, that record this word for us. You may deal, I don't know if you've ever dealt with people, you know, that say, well, you've never seen, you don't know. Faith, I don't know how long the word is. When you deal with people, say the atheist, that there is no Christ or that there is no God, do they have any faith towards anything? I guess, I don't know if that's a good wording or not. If I say to you, do you believe that George Washington ever lived? Well, what are you basing that upon? Testimony of history. Okay? Now, you can go back and look throughout history, go back in the time of Christ. You have these writers that wrote during this time, okay, that mention the events that the Bible has some of them. And so if you're going to accept that of history concerning if George Washington lived or if Abraham Lincoln lived, even if man went to the moon, you're going to base it on somebody's testimony. They say, you know, you may have seen it on TV. I know one woman said, well, that's just put on in Hollywood. That never happened. But everybody's got faith in something, that something existed. And so throughout our history of how this country came about, the only thing, source that we have to go to is history. Now, you either believe that or you don't. And do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he came to this earth, that he lived and he died and he arose? It's based upon someone's testimony. And more so, these apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit to make this testimony. And so it's something we should believe more than just what people wrote concerning, if you will, concerning history. In verse 20, First Corinthians 15, Paul says, but now Christ is risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Of course, the first fruits have a reference that we're all going to fall asleep, we're all going to die. Christ came the first fruits, the first one to be raised from the dead, and likewise we will later on. Either to enjoy heaven and be with the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit forever, or we will be with our Father Satan. That choice is yours on that. Any thoughts?
I think mankind in general, it's much easier to believe something that you can see or immediately in the recent past than it is to believe something that's going to come in the future.
It is. Our sight, you know, our sight leaves no doubt. You know, if someone asked me, was Mark here on Sunday morning? I said, I see Mark. But if I wasn't here, I couldn't tell you where Mark was here or not. If I say, was Mark here? I ask Ray, yeah, Mark was here. I'm basing what I believe on what Ray says instead of sight that I can see. And so people do have a tendency. Is it a hard thing to accept as far as faith? Of what we're asked to believe?
I don't think it is with all the evidence he gives us to back it up.
It's not.
It's the atheist, the one that has to stretch their faith because they have no evidence to back up what they believe.
True. And it shouldn't be. I mean, it shouldn't be. We have it all recorded. We shouldn't have no problem believing that. But yet, a lot of people do on that.
That's a lot easier to believe in God as being a great creator than it is to believe something like the Big Bang series.
Amen to that. You just think of all the
explosion
that creates and everything turned out. I think Colleen wants to use an example concerning that, talking about if you take a big old clock and how many things and pieces they are in the clock, the small ones, crash it all up and mix it and break it and throw it up and it comes down to the clock and it's running. There's a greater chance of creation happening than that happening. But that's basically what they're saying. He just started functioning one day. And so, but we can see, I don't know what you would say to a person that believes that this all came into existence simply over an evolution of a period of time.
I believe that it's not so much of what they believe in, it's that they just can't believe anything that they don't see or sense for themselves. It's
possibly so.
They just discredit everything that they don't see.
But again, as we talk about this, our mind may not fully comprehend this. Okay, of all the power of God and what God can do, because we're humans. We cannot grasp, when you look at all the creation, how great God is. But we have assurance of His promise to raise us from the dead. And that's what we need to keep a focus on, that our faith does not waver concerning this. John chapter 5, 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and shall come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. We have this word from God that there's going to be a resurrection. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to condemnation. Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15. The writer there says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death, that's us, were all their lifetime subject to bondage to this death." Okay? And so, Christ, by His resurrection, released us from this bondage. We should have no fear of death, knowing assuredly that we're going to be raised in the last day. We're subject to bondage because of sin and death. But Jesus now sits at the Father's right hand until all His enemies are subjected to Him. In the last day, the last enemy that's destroyed is going to be death. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 25. And 26. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Of course, this life, the separation from sin that we experience, that we're separated from the Father. Paul here says that you're made alive. We can become alive again through Christ and through His resurrection. Any thoughts on the resurrection? He also makes a statement, "I'm not only the resurrection, but I am the life. Where there's a resurrection, there's life." In John 1 verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of man." When Jesus said, "I am the life," He meant He had the power to bestow eternal life. And how was His life the light of man? John 10, verse 28, "And I give them eternal life," because He had the power to do so, in that He was raised, for He raised Himself from the dead. He said, "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Revelation 1, verse 18, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of hell and death. Because He lives, we likewise shall live." The song that we sing, "Because He lives." We have that assurance. Someone get first veil, please. The one who believes in Christ has eternal life that transcends physical death. Faith, the greatest of faith, does not preserve us from temporal death. We're going to die. Regardless of how great our faith is, when you look in the book of Hebrews 11, and those men of faith, Abraham, because of the faith, they still died. It's not going to preserve us from temporal death. But when we die, we'll be restored to life in the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Again, this assurance that we have through our Savior. As Christ is the resurrection of the dead, so his life is for the living, having life in himself. John 5 and verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Meaning, if we're in Christ, we have life, is all he's having reference to on that. In John 11, verse 26, after Jesus told Martha that I am the resurrection and the life, he then asked her, do you believe this? That would be our question today. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is risen? John 8, verse 24, if not, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, and is the risen one, you shall die in your sins. Verse 27, Martha's confession, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the very statement that we make when we become obedient to the gospel of Christ. But you can look at others who confess this, Nathaniel, in John 1, verse 49, when he says, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Peter in John 6, verses 66 through 69. The centurion, Matthew 27, verse 54, truly this was the Son of God. Thomas, John 20, 24 through 29, said, my Lord and my God. And the eunuch said in Acts 8, and verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Albert Barnes wrote concerning the raising of the dead, raising the dead implies not merely giving life to a dead body, but also the power of entering, as Larry Mack mentioned, the spirit world, recalling the departed soul and reuniting with the body. The power of God. And take that departed spirit and bring it back into a body. And so we're told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 53. The power that Christ had when he was given all authority. Any questions for anyone? Any thoughts? No, thank you.